It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Hey, y'all having a good time out there?
Here we go, taking you home on a Monday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. We are here until 6 o'clock. Great day for you to join the show. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up at hour number 2, we'll talk Pacers basketball after the Pacers lay an egg in game 1, losing to the Milwaukee Bucks. Final score was 109-94. Pacers a season low in points. It's playoff time, baby. Defenses ramp it up a bit, and the Pacers just seem to be completely unprepared. A lot of blame to go around, but the key is, can the Pacers bounce back and at least get one out of the first two being played in Milwaukee? They'll try to do that on Tuesday night. Scott Agnes is going to join us to talk about the Pacers coming up at about 5:20 this afternoon. We are going back in time. I feel like I should be singing a Huey Lewis song right now. We are in a different studio. Boy, the sound is different in my headphones. The microphones sound different. Since we last did a show in the small studio here, which, by the way, is a very small studio. We should get we should have somebody, our staff photographer, do a picture. But we don't have a staff photographer. But since we last did a show in here, by the way, they must have moved this counter closer to the wall, the one that I squeeze into. It seems like I've got less room since the last time I did a show in here. It seems like the counter to the wall, that space has gotten much tighter than the last time I was here. It had to have been they moved the counter, right?
Must be. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, because I... Actually, this studio must have kept me from putting on any weight when I did like 6 years worth of a show over here. It's a little snug.
A little snug.
But we've got our engineers working on the other studio, so we have jumped over to the small studio, and this is like circa 2019, 18, 17, something like that, where we were doing the show over here in this studio. But it does take some getting used to. In the headphones, because it does sound totally different than what we're used to.
Yeah, especially because we're in a smaller room, so you just kind of get more of your voice bouncing back at you.
it's like singing in the shower today.
Kind of.
Yeah. We can't be off key because we're singing it in the shower, and nobody's ever off key when they're singing them by themselves in the shower. Busy day today in sports. You know, I was thinking over the weekend we had plenty to talk about of things that happened over the weekend. And then today we've had almost as much sports stuff happen as we had all weekend. But, of course, one of the big stories kind of overlaps from the weekend into today. But story number one, Connor Essejian has finally made his decision where he is going to continue his college basketball career. And he's staying in the Big Ten. And it might not be a school you expected it to be, but he is going to be playing with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Breaking news as of yesterday at 3 o'clock.
You know I just wanted to...
You just wanted to give that a try just to see if that button worked.
Make sure we're still able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. See if we can still have the effects. Connor Essejian chooses the Nebraska Cornhuskers over others, including perhaps IU, Maryland... South Carolina. Where else did he go visit? He visited like 4 or 5 schools.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the most prominent, I think, of. And I think with Nebraska, there is an opportunity probably to pick up some minutes. Nothing is guaranteed, you know. He's by staying in the Big Ten. Remember, he went to a Big Ten school. and eventually got squeezed out. And when your skill set is somewhat limited, but your one skill you provide is terrific, as long as a team values that particular skill, you're going to have minutes. And it worked with Keisei Tominaga, and I guess Connor Asijan is kind of hoping to follow in his footsteps, take his roster spot with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, because he announced it yesterday that he is heading to Lincoln. And it was the last place he visited. And so, you know, They knew exactly, I guess, what kind of a package he needed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you can ask what he's been offered already.
Yeah, you could probably get down to that. I don't know if you're allowed to ask directly, but, you know,
how much are they paying you?
Yeah, how much are they paying? Because we're going to pay you more. But it's one of those things where Nebraska probably sees it as a profile that fits their system and can succeed in their system. And for Connor Asijan, he gets to stay in the Big Ten. I don't know the schedule next year, but it will be interesting to take a look at when Nebraska visits Wisconsin, because I'm sure that game will be highlighted on Connor Asijan's calendar. But he made the decision yesterday. You know, and here's the thing that happened in 2 years' time. And, I talked here. Don't forget about the Mastodons. Yes, I would have liked to have seen him come back to Fort Wayne, because I think even his weakest skill sets could have still contributed to the Mastodons at a mid-major level, and he would have had a chance to do some history for his hometown, and he would have had a chance to play with Jalen Jackson, one of his best buds. But I get it. I mean, you're talking, a lot of these guys, six figures or better, and it's just, you know, when that kind of money, Adam, if they came to you and somebody came to you and said, I'm going to give you like 5 times, 10 times, 15 times more money than you're getting on the Sports Rush, if you want to come and work with me, I don't think it matters who it is. You're out of here.
Unfortunately, yeah, I'd have to take the offer, man.
You're out of here. I mean, sometimes the money, it's not, you know, a nickel versus a dime. It's like a nickel versus 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, and it's not a disparity between Purdue, Fort Wayne and Big Ten programs as much as it is a disparity between the power programs and mid-majors as far as NIL funding. And so it's really tough to cross over and pick those guys out of the power conferences that become available. The relationships, you know, 2 years ago was about the relationships with the coaches, style of play, opportunity to be successful. All of that mattered, right? And in 2 years' time, there's a new variable into the mix, a new ingredient added, and it's called name, image, likeness. And it just made it really tough for the Mastodons to be competitive in this situation. And so had a pretty good idea. It was not going to be Purdue Fort Wayne once he got out and started getting contacted by other schools. So I figured it was going to be someplace in the Big Ten. I thought maybe he would get closer to home. That one time last year when he did have a little bit of a break from Wisconsin's schedule, he shot into Fort Wayne just to catch a Jalen Jackson game and visit with Jalen for a little while and then headed back to Wisconsin. I don't know if he can do that from Lincoln. It's a bit of a drive. And it's not exactly the easiest plane flight, because I think from Lincoln, you've got to get to Omaha, and then you got to go from Omaha to Chicago, oh, wow, to Fort Wayne.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But we had an official, actually, a couple of years ago, John Floyd, who was doing a Nebraska game, and he was scheduled for that flight. He was doing a Saturday game in Lincoln, and he was scheduled to do a Mastodons game at like 1 o'clock the next day. And the game went overtime, which then meant he wasn't going to make it to Omaha in time to catch the flight to Chicago. It also happened to be the last flight he could get a connection from Chicago to Fort Wayne. So knowing he had just missed a flight, and the next morning the flight wouldn't have gotten in on time, John Floyd jumped in a rental car and drove from Lincoln to Fort Wayne to be able to get to his game on time at the Gates Center. And so he told me it was like 11 and a half hours of nonstop driving almost through the night. And then he got in like 4:35 in the morning and had to referee a game that day at 1 o'clock. But that's the life of a referee with their travel. But Connor sees you going to Nebraska. And then as soon as that gets done, it's almost like, is this a courtesy that Luke Goody didn't announce his decision to enter the portal until after Connor Asesian announced where he was committing? Because one day after Connor Asesian announces he's going to Nebraska, Luke Goody announces today he is entering the transfer portal.
Oh, man, maybe I should hit the button.
Well, today that would be that the one. Oh, man. That's actually the breaking news, Adam. The breaking news was not Asesian. That was yesterday. There we go. Now that we've given it a test run, now we know that it works.
Yeah.
Luke Goody from Illinois, former Homestead product, is entering the transfer portal. He announced today on a, is this an Instagram post, an X post? I'm not exactly sure, but.
Oh, I think it was X, yeah.
It was X, okay. Because he put out a little graphic, little photo with a message, how grateful he is to Illinois, how honored he has been to play for the Fighting Illini. Always cracks me up, Fighting Illini for life. Well, until I get my next team. Luke Goody is entering the portal and kind of a late addition, right, into the portal?
Definitely a late addition. We got a text on the text line 46862, any chance of Goody to PFW?
I don't know. The thing is, I knew about the relationship that the Mastodons coaches maintained with Connor Asesian and his family, and I knew about the relationship that Connor Asesian had with Jalen Jackson because I saw Connor at the basketball game this winter. And so I was very familiar with the connections, and I knew that if there was only one decision to be made, and that is where can he go to contribute, be part of a fun program, then the style would fit him well. I mean, you look in the history of the program and you look at guys like Max Landis, who, transferred into Purdue Fort Wayne and then put up 20 points a game, and Max is still playing professional ball overseas and very successful at it. He's in one of the top, if not the top, European league over there. But I thought if it wasn't for the money aspect, and this is not to be critical of Connor Asesian. I mean, it is just the way college basketball is. That's the way you evaluate things now. You evaluate the position, your opportunity, how much you'll play, what your future will be, and then you have to look at how much money you'll earn. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And money that was in the bag at a Big Ten school, just a little bit bigger and heavier bag than the ones that are local. What is Luke Goody looking for? I don't know. Mm. I didn't know this was coming because I'm kind of surprised it's come so late.
Right.
If he was transferring, why didn't he transfer before? Now, here's the thing is, he could be looking at the fact that Indiana was looking for a shooter. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shooters are starting to disperse to other places, and Indiana still needs a shooter. Luke Goody's best asset that he brings is three-point shooting. And he may look at it and think, hey, if I ever wanted to or thought about playing for Indiana University, this would be my time. And you remember, a lot of his family is connected very deeply to Indiana University.
Absolutely.
You know who his uncle is?
Mm.
Trent Green.
Oh.
Former NFL quarterback, former Indiana Hoosier quarterback. That's
yeah.
Luke Goody's uncle.
Huh.
But he also, his dad, another uncle, they all played football at IU. He's got a cousin that played football at IU. His brother currently is at IU, so he could go to campus and attend school with his brother. In fact, I understand that Goody's parents actually have Indiana basketball season tickets.
Something to consider.
So they're prepared to come watch if he decides to go to IU.
Definitely.
So add him to the list of potential prospects for the Indiana Hoosiers, especially when it comes to three-point shooting. Maybe, you know, maybe he didn't want to jump in if Esiason wanted to go to IU. I don't know how close Luke Goody and Connor Esiason are, to be exactly honest. All I know is Esiason makes his choice on Sunday, and then on Monday it's announced that Luke Goody's entering the portal. Does seem to be more than just a coincidence.
Definitely interesting. Somebody on the text line said Goody is going to Indiana. It is all but announced. So we will see.
No tampering. Does seem a little odd, though, that he's a late entry, and it looks like, you know, he's basically just waiting for the graphics department to get the official graphics done to make the announcement. Yeah, I don't know who texted that in. I can't see the numbers, but
sure.
There's a lot of people that are somewhat knowledgeable with the situation, and that is what they are indicating to me.
Is it the Wizards with the crystal balls?
the crystal ball predictors. Yeah, no, it's someone who doesn't have a crystal ball, but they do have connections.
Okay.
And they kind of just feel like the writing is on the wall that, you know, what has Indiana gotten? They've gotten a 6'3 guard, and neither one is a prolific three-point shooter. What did Indiana go to the offseason really needing? A three-point shooter and maybe even a bigger guard. And Luke Goody at 6'5 can truly guard a three, mm-hmm. where the other guys are only built to guard a one or a two, meaning point guard or shooting guard. Luke Goody can cover a small forward. He can help on the glass. I mean, you know, a complimentary piece. Is he going to start? No, he's not a starter if he goes to IU. He's probably a Mackenzie Mbako slash. I mean, I don't even know where he fits in because we'll talk a little more about Indiana's roster. He can definitely shoot it, but that roster is getting very deep on the rotation of guards. And the question is, if you're going to play both Balo and Malik Renew, that means you've got three other spots. Mbako is one you would expect to have one of those three other spots. Now you have about seven players that are lined up for two positions. And Luke Goody would kind of be an eighth unless you move him into more of a three slot where he would be a backup to Mbako. And maybe Mbako then is a backup to the four man.
So it's really kind of more about what Goody wants in his transfer, if he's willing to be in that sort of role for the Hoosiers or if he wants to go somewhere with more playing time.
His role would be very similar to what he had at Illinois. He just would be wearing different colors, different jersey, and attending school in a different town. But I don't think his role would be much different. He might get a few extra minutes, but you know, it's just a question whether or not he wants to continue his education, maybe pick up a degree. I think he may have actually gotten his degree at Illinois. So now the question is, what does he want to pursue in a graduate program? And maybe, and this is another part of it, maybe Illinois doesn't have exactly what he wants in a graduate program, and Indiana does.
Huh. Maybe.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what he's looking for, but I think he mentioned in the release here that he was entering the transfer portal as a grad transfer. So he's already gotten his degree or will be getting it here in the spring. And so that could play a part in it.
Absolutely.
He wants to go and if he's going to continue with a free education, it might not be about how much time you get on the court or getting more time on the court. I would say if he was upset with the amount of time he was getting on the court, he'd have decided that he was transferring as soon as the season ended. Mm. Because in some cases, I think the guys who race to the portal are trying to send a message to the coach that they're leaving. I was not happy with how you used me. Luke Goody didn't do that. He stuck around until, well, the portal's been open for, what, a month?
Long time.
And so we'll see what happens. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. You know, I'm intrigued in here. I don't have a clock.
Ah, it is almost 4:21, my friend.
Already?
Already.
The clock runs faster in this studio then, doesn't it?
Yeah, we go back in time and then time speeds up,
time
too.
Time speeds up in this studio.
It's the time portal
I now remember where I get the time from in this studio. I can see it up there in the little corner.
Yeah
I was looking on the walls and I'm like, you know, I'm used to looking up at the wall to check... check my time references.
It's like a casino in here. We don't have any clocks on.
Yeah, they turn the clocks off and the air conditioning real low.
Yeah.
Up the oxygen level so you never have to sleep.
Nope, you feel good.
Yep. Little, can they build caffeine into a air vent?
Oh, I'm sure they could.
That would be so cool. All right, let's find out what's happening in the world of sports. Do we have some headlines?
We do.
I didn't know if we'd have them over here in this studio.
Oh, yeah, we're good. All right, let's get into them. Well, after 15 seasons, four Pro Bowls, and an MVP award, former Atlanta Falcons and Indianapolis Colts quarterback Matt Ryan announced his retirement today, officially ending the career of one of the most durable and consistent players of his generation. Ryan made the announcement in a video statement posted to social media today by the Falcons. The New York Jets traded Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos today. They will receive a sixth-round selection in this week's NFL draft from the Broncos, who, in addition to Wilson, will get a seventh-round pick. The Jets and the Broncos are splitting the $5.5 million Wilson is due this season, with each team paying $2.75
million. Wait a minute. I'm paying attention to something completely different.
Yeah.
Did you say Wilson, a quarterback, is traded to Denver? What?
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
Not to replace Russell Wilson. That's confusing.
One more for you regarding tonight's playoff games. Philadelphia 76ers All-Star guard Tyrese Maxey did not attend today's morning shoot-around at Madison Square Garden due to an illness, and he will be listed as questionable for Game 2 against the New York Knicks tonight. Maxey had 33 points in 44 minutes in Philadelphia's Game 1 loss of the first round playoff series on Saturday. But when the team arrived on Monday morning for shoot-around, Maxey was the only player missing. Those are your top stories today, Brett.
There you go. Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. You can always text the show, questions, comments, or suggestions. We've got the text line open and small studio show today. I don't know if it sounds any different on that end, but it sure sounds different on our end.
You know,
the sound in a smaller room, like we're talking in a closet, very, very different.
I'll be interested to find out what it sounds like later.
You've got a microphone over there that I swear they dug out of the bottom of the storage closet just to get you. That thing's from like the 50s.
It's covered in a layer of dust like it's from the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, it must have had to use that microphone at some point, the one that was actually in that microphone slot. They must have had to use it for another studio because did have two pretty decent microphones. That's a relic. I'll tell you what, while we're in here, Adam, let's put that mic on eBay. Let's see if we can get some bids. We might maybe make some cash. Maybe we can get our NIL deal while we're in here. We should take a picture of that. In fact, I'm going to take a picture.
All right.
I'm going to take a picture of you on that mic, and we're going to have to post this.
All right, let me turn it off while I get a good angle here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to look good while we do it. Okay, yeah. There we go. I got you. All right, so we will post that on social media.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm glad that's going to be everywhere.
That it's an important part of today's show. All right, so the Tin Caps over the weekend had a great weekend in Dayton. Man, is this team, you know, they're able to overcome deficits, not only deficits in a series, because this is two series in a row where they dropped the first two games of the series and then came back and swept the rest of the way. Last week, it was only a five-game series because of the rain out. And the Tin Caps lost the first two to Lake County at Parkview Field, then came back, swept the doubleheader, won the Sunday finale, and ended up winning 3 out of 5 against the Lake County Captains. This week, on the road, lose Tuesday and Wednesday, and then come back and win Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the result yesterday in 10 innings, 5-3, Tin Caps get the victory. And not only, as I said, did they come back in a series, but they come back every single game. I mean, we might as well just go ahead and say, hey, starting pitcher, spot them 3, because we're much better when we're down 3 early in the game. If you look at the last 3 games of this series, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, Tin Caps were outscored 9-1 over the first 3 innings. And then from the 4th inning on, they outscored Dayton 16-2. And that's how you take all 3 games. 4 in a row now for the Tin Caps. Yesterday, pretty balanced attack, although Colton Bender did have a couple of hits. I think they were both doubles. And he finished 2-for-4 on the day. Devin Ortiz hit a blast out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Tin Caps get the win, 5-3 in extras. They come home to start a series at Parkview Field against the Great Lakes Loons, already the second time against the Loons after opening the season with that 3-game series up in Midland. And that will begin tomorrow night, 6:30, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. And I believe, once again, it's a 1 o'clock Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
We don't have the schedule. Usually I got it right here next to me, but that's over in the other room.
I got it. It is 1:05 on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, there you go. So get your tickets for the Tin Caps. Join the ball club. I know a couple of iffy days in there weather-wise, but as long as you've got a jacket, there's also a couple of days that should be really nice. I think Wednesday is projecting to be a really nice day. Might need a jacket. I think it's supposed to be, what, about 50?
Yeah, Wednesday we got a high of about 56.
That's not bad.
Last
I looked, there's only like 4% chance of rain.
Yeah. It looks like most of the rain should be out by Wednesday, and then things heat up on Thursday into the weekend. So looking good.
Tin Caps bullpen has been dominant. That's one way you outscore teams 16-2.
Yeah.
In fact, both runs scored in the same inning. That 16-2 number, the Tin Caps bullpen had just come in and been lights out, and that allows the offense the time and the patience to eventually come back after they've been down 3-0, they've been down 4-0, they were down 5 runs a week ago twice in a ball game and came back from both 5-run deficits, but it's been a fun team so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just call them the comeback Caps.
All right, so the Pacers got the series against Milwaukee started.
Oh, man.
Well, let's put it this way. Milwaukee got the series against Pacers started.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
Pacers didn't exactly get off to much of a start.
No.
They were down 27 points at halftime.
Yeah, that final score is definitely not indicative of just how much Milwaukee controlled this game.
Dame Lillard almost outscored the Pacers in the first half. Pacers 42 points, Dame Lillard 35. But then the strange thing is Lillard did not score a single point in the second half.
Nope.
35 at halftime, nothing in the second half.
I guess he felt like his job was done for the day, I guess.
I'm not... Normally, when a shooter's feeling it like that, shooter, shoot, man. You ought to know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
You don't even need to see it go in. You're shooting. but the Pacers, you know, here's the disappointment. I said this last week that I thought this was Tyrese Halliburton's series, that he was going to be the key guy. This was his chance to take his reputation, his game, his image, everything up to the next level. Because it's difference in doing stuff in playoff basketball versus doing stuff during the regular season. And while he had a terrific regular season, it's playoff time. And game one, and I hope it's not an indication of things to come, but game one for Tyrese Halliburton would have to be considered a flop.
Yeah.
9 points. Yeah, he got 7 rebounds, 8 assists. But... a lot of that is just the balls in his hands and stuff. But But he only scores 9 points, only takes 7 shots. He's been one of the real stars against Milwaukee, where the Pacers won 4 out of 5 during the season. And yesterday, just not much of a contribution points-wise. Now, Pascal Siakam, who didn't play in those 5 games against the Bucks this year, this was the first time he went against the Bucks. He gets 36 and 13, 36 points, 13 rebounds, 15 of 25 from the field, 60% shooting. And now he does have to improve his free throw shooting if we want to be critical. He was just 5 for 10 at the free throw line. But big game for Pascal Siakam. But just not much else. Miles Turner was 5 for 17 from the field. Got to be better. Yeah, he got 17 points. Yes, the Pacers were a +2 with him on the floor, but 17, not enough. Pacers, a team that generally wins and scores by having 5-6 guys that go double figures. In game one against Milwaukee, just 3 in double figures, and one of those, TJ McConnell, just barely crossed the threshold with 10. Overall, the Pacers shoot, get this, 39.6% from the field.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I'm actually reading that correctly. They were 36 of 81. Mm. And then they were 21.1% from the three-point line. That's not going to get it done. On the road, against a good opponent, especially when they're hitting 14 of 37 from distance and hitting almost 50% from the field, and a perfect 13 for 13 at the line, where the Pacers were just 14 of 27, or 14 of 21, excuse me.
And this was a good opportunity for the Pacers to get one on the road here in Milwaukee without Giannis playing. And now he might be back for game two, or if not game two, then game three. So,
but they got the luxury if they want to rest him now in game two. If they'd have lost, I feel like they'd have been pressuring him to come back. Now that they won, I'm not sure if they've got the pressure for him to come back.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because that's one of those injuries, the more rest you can give it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to see if Giannis is out there for game two Tuesday night. Yeah, Pacers just nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I didn't expect Tyrese Haliburton to only take 7 shots on the night.
Odd stat of the weekend.
Definitely.
Odd stat of the weekend. Not yours. Mine. Ready for mine?
Go for it.
In the NBA and NHL, how many road teams won this weekend? Out of the 16 games, how many of the 16 were won by the road team?
Well, I do know that in the NBA, all 8 home team won game one. So I'll just have to guess in NHL how many road teams won. I'll say none. I'll guess none.
16-0.
Oh, man.
All 16 games in round one of the playoffs were won by the home team over the weekend.
That's crazy. Well, the Thunder certainly tried to be upset by the Pelicans in game one last night, but they were able to hold on there.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of like the Pacers situation. It's a team that's young, that doesn't have playoff experience,
yeah,
and trying to experience it for the first time. And the Pelicans, I thought we're going to steal one on the road.
I did too.
Against the number one seed. And then OKC, the Thunder, ended up getting that victory. But Lakers, Dallas, and Phoenix, 3 teams that I think we all, I don't know if we consider them to have a shot, but we expected decent showings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we thought Dallas and I know I thought Phoenix had a chance against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of flop in their first game, too.
Right.
It was just one of those days. I mean, all 3 got beat by double digits.
It was bad. I definitely thought that Dallas would have a better chance against the Clippers. And then I did have the Timberwolves defeating the Suns. But yeah, we'll see. I just, you know, it's those game ones. You don't want to overreact too much. But right now it seems like things might go kind of chalk.
Yeah, it was just a strange weekend that home teams dominated it both in the NHL and the NBA. You know what that means, though?
What does it mean?
Florida Panthers got game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Hey.
And so the Florida Panthers have a 1-0 lead after winning 3-1 against the Lightning down in Sunrise, Florida. And a lot of people are confused because the Florida Panthers don't, they play in Florida, but they don't actually play in Miami. A lot of people think that the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers either share an arena or both play out of Miami. No, the Florida Panthers actually play in a suburb of Fort Lauderdale, which is about 45 minutes outside of downtown Miami. It also is like twice as close to where we have our house.
Ah.
And so it was much, much easier to go to Panthers games than it was to go to the Heat games.
Well, there you go.
Now it's not because the Panthers games, you know, we went to Panthers games back, well, in the COVID year when they had restricted seating and they only limited it to like 3,000 tickets. We were buying those tickets for like $35.
Yeah, good deal.
And sitting only a few rows off the ice. Then we then they started opening it up and the Panthers hadn't gotten really good yet. But, you know, they were not a bad team. And we were getting tickets for 50, 60. Okay, it was going up a little bit. Do you know what the cheapest tickets were running on Sunday morning for the Sunday game, the Panthers and the Lightning?
What? Minimum,
cheapest.
Like
cheapest.
$250, $300?
$600.
Oh, man.
That was even more than the Stanley Cup Finals from a year ago. That just tells you how much added value there is now in Florida Panthers hockey down there. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Love to have you text the show. 46862. It is NFL draft night coming up on Thursday. Of course, it continues Friday into Saturday, but it's the first round coming up on Friday or on Thursday. And we've got, well, plenty of mock drafts. Some tell us the Colts going up, going down. We'll give you our thoughts on what to expect from the Colts and maybe if Chris Ballard actually tipped his hand a bit at the press conference on Friday. That comes up next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. And, of course, you are connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. You know who you are. Stop asking. I can't answer that question. We're not going to answer that question on the air. So you can go ahead and bypass that question and just social reference, social media referencing might be your best solution. 46862, any other questions, comments, or suggestions? We would love to have them. NFL draft comes up on Thursday night. Anxious to see what the Colts do because this seems to be the most wide open draft. I think it's got a deep level of talent that goes 20, 20, 21, 22 players deep with significant impact on teams. In other words, I think that you could pick somebody even 18, 19, 20, that if you pick the right person in the right position, they could actually impact or have a positive impact their very first year in the league. Now, what are the Colts going to do? I would love to see them trade up. And I think there's multiple reasons why it would be a positive for Chris Ballard to finally break the mold and move up in the first round. Because number one, you do need a skill position player. You need a wide receiver, or if you decide that Brock Bowers is more of an impact player than a vertical threat, I mean, I love Brock Bowers, and I would not be disappointed if the Colts get him. But I also look at Anthony Richardson. What is his strength? His strength is airing it out, big, strong arm. We expect his arm to be just as strong before the injury or after the injury as it was before the injury. And so the one thing missing from the Colts roster is a really top-flight vertical threat. You could say, well, Alec Pierce has shown. Yes, he has. He has shown not only that he can run and get downfield and get open, but he's also shown that he's capable of, once he does that, of dropping the football. I mean, he had drops. And sometimes, you know, he falls to the ground like there's a lot of, you know, contact or that the defender had his hand in. But if you watch, it's just a flat-out drop. The defender doesn't touch it. He had some clearance behind the defender, and he's had three or four of those. So the Colts need somebody that can stretch the field, especially when you've got a guy like Jonathan Taylor in your backfield where you know they might cheat, they might add a guy to the box to try to control the running game. You will get some one-on-one on the outside. And if you can get that and you've got a guy that can actually beat that one-on-one coverage, I think Anthony Richardson is going to be better off for it. And so you've got the reliable receiver in Michael Pittman Jr. You need a vertical threat. And I think there's three guys that are immediate impact wideouts in this draft. And when you start adding up that there might be four or five quarterbacks going in the top 15 picks, the Colts have 15, you start to look at some other positions. It looks like you could just try to get into the top 10 and probably get any one of those three. Now, that doesn't mean you would have your pick of the three. It means one of them should be available at around 9 or 10. I don't think all three are going in the top 6 or 7 picks. And with that being said, I don't think there's a better year for Chris Ballard to move up and get one of those guys. Glaring need for your football team. Young quarterback at a young weapon. You just locked up Michael Pittman Jr. for the next, what, 3 or 4 years. This is the perfect time to surround Anthony Richardson with weapons that he can grow with. And if you get the right guy, trust me, top of this draft, those guys with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Adunze out of Washington, and then, of course, Malik Nabers out of LSU. All three of those guys, high-impact, vertical threats that can go downfield and catch it. And I'm like, let's go. Let's go up and get them.
It's just you have to convince Chris that this is the year. I mean, well, you can think it's the year all you want, but they have to get Chris Ballard to finally make the move in the first round. But it would be nice because I think, like you said, if you get one of these top guys, it can be someone that can contribute to the Colts for a real long time.
Jim Irsay did say he will not be attending the draft.
Okay.
He will not be in the draft room. Let's put it that way. None of the guys attend the draft that get in the draft room.
Right.
The war room, so to speak.
Yeah.
He is not going to be there. He'll be connected virtually, and he will have some input, but he's not going to be actively in the room joining in the discussion.
Do you think they might just, like, mute him or maybe, oh, we got some connection issues, Jim.
Yeah, turn the screen around.
put some tape over the camera. Or
yeah. but, well, in my case, I'm wondering who has the sanity here. Is it Ballard or is it Irsay? Because I've got to trust one of them to go up and get a speedy vertical threat wide receiver. And finally, instead of waiting to take a guy that's in a position group that you say is deep and you're really happy getting a guy in the second round like Alec Pierce, you know, I think they got lucky last year. Josh Downs fell to them. And I think they've got a slot receiver that they can count on. But you got one spot still open, and Alec Pierce is not the guy. Chris, no. I know you liked him before the draft, and when you draft somebody, it's like adopting a child. You love them to death, and you want to sign them forever. But sometimes you've got to look at reality, and the reality is he's not good enough to be the number two receiver on this football team. You've got to do something that upgrades that position, especially for a young quarterback. You've got an opportunity in this draft because you have some leverage. You're already at pick 15, which means you don't have to go up that much. Yet you might have to give up your second round pick, and I know you'll probably get the shakes when you have to do that. But it's not like we've dominated second round picks. The only ones that seem to work out is when you take a second round pick that we moved up for and got a higher second round pick. But I would say mid second round pick, go ahead, give it off to somebody else. Give them a second or third rounder next year. Whatever you got to do, get the deal done, move up, get a wide receiver, and watch this team grow. You can fill in the pieces around them once you've established star wideout one, star wideout two, and you've got the running back. You've got what you believe is your franchise quarterback. You don't have to go crazy. Just go in, get quality over quantity, and get the wide receiver you want. Now, I don't know that they can get up high enough to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think you'd have to get up to probably Arizona's spot at number four. But I do think they will have a couple of takers in that 7-8-9 range where they might be able to get up into the top 10 and snag one of those three. And I don't think it'll be Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it'll be between Neighbors and Odunze, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Wait and see. Looking forward to it. I'm excited.
46862, what do you expect out of the draft? Let us know. 46862. More talk on the draft, including taking a look at what the Bears have been able to pull off and why maybe some moves that were made that weren't as well received at the time are going to turn out to be game changers for the Chicago Bears. Indiana has added to their roster, and they may add more. We'll talk about that. And Mason Gillis also has a new home. We'll tell you all about that. Hour number two includes Scott Agnes at 520. It's a Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.